Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, January 6, 2020. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 80, the fourth paragraph down, which begins after consulting with his wife. Today's readers are Kathy G. on the 12 Steps, Rhonda R. on the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Eileen M., Shannon M., and Kara L. The reference number or share ID for Sunday's special edition yesterday, January 5th, is 13,925. That is 13925. And the share ID for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern meeting, is 13,926 or 13926. Our newcomer greeter today is Mo H., and announcements will be given by Reggie O. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose, is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Kathy G. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Kathy, this is Kathy G., a grateful compulsive eater in Illinois. Good morning, everyone. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks, Kathy. I pass.
Thank you, Kathy G. Rhonda R., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Sure. Good morning, Kathy. This is Rhonda R. in Atlanta, Georgia. The 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, unless problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for allowing me to be of service.
Thank you, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 80, the fourth paragraph down, and I will ask Eileen M. to get us started today.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, Kathy K, for your service. This is Eileen M., the grateful recovered compulsive overeater. After consulting with his wife and partner, he came to the conclusion that it was better to take those risks than to stand before his creator guilty of such ruinous slander. He saw that he had to place the outcome in God's hands, or he would soon start drinking again, and all would be lost anyhow. He attended church for the first time in many years. After the sermon, he quietly got up and made an explanation. His action met widespread approval, and today he is one of the most trusted citizens in his town. This all happened years ago. So what really struck me this morning was that first sentence, after consulting with his wife and partner. And I think that's a very wise choice, because the action that he was considering, you know, would potentially affect his wife and business partner. And as the ninth step says, it says we make amends to such people except when to do so would injure them or others. So we do not harm others in the process of making amends. And it also means that he did not make this decision himself. You know, he discussed it with someone else, which is what, you know, we are strongly suggested to do. This is before we have any kind of amends, is to go to our sponsors or to someone who has, you know, someone who's recovered and has done step 9, you know, someone who can share their experience, strength, and hope. with us. Yeah, and I just remember, like, you know, as I used to make amends in the past to others without discussing it with someone else. And it really made situations worse when I did that. And I'm grateful that I've learned, you know, this new way of, you know, I go to my sponsor now with anything, with any amends I need to make. And with that, I pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Eileen M. Okay, who would like to share on this paragraph?
Ginger C.
Ginger C.
Tamara C.
Tamara C.
Reggie O.
Reggie O. Anyone else? Okay, we'll get started with these three. Please share with us, Ginger C. Ginger, press star one.
Hi, Kathy. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for your service. This is Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And just a power-packed paragraph, I mean, really sentence by sentence here. And like the reader just shared so beautifully, you know, after consulting with his wife and partner, you know, this work is about consideration. It's not about me, but a lot of the times I make it about me, the selfish self-centeredness that is the root of all my troubles. And I'm like a bull in a china store wreaking havoc. I'm self-propulsion. I am moving forward, and I am forgetting about others because I have to feel better, and I have to feel better now. I have this urgency within because this uncomfortableness is there. I'm feeling it, and I don't like it. And I think the most important thing to do is remember that this is God's plans, God's designs. Where am I agnostic in this work and not relying on God? And we let the outcome be in God's hand. But what choice do I have? I mean, it reminds me back to page 25. If you're seriously a food addict and it's killing you, you got two doors. Continue the way you're going or accept a spiritual program. Accept this God that's down deep within you. So again, this work is just so laid out so perfectly, so precisely, so exactly. And what am I doing with it? Am I following direction? Or am I back in self-reliance at the wheel? And of course, I make a lot of wrong turns when I'm driving. So God is everything or God is nothing. And then, you know, the gift of this work, when I trust and rely on God completely and I just follow through, God, give me the strength and courage to do the next right thought and action. Thy will be done. We say that many times throughout our days because guess what? We take the will back many times throughout the day. So we reconsent and then look at what happens. He got up and he made this amends and he didn't drink. So 9 times out of 10, the unexpected happens with this work. But my head will convince me it's scary, it's too hard, it's too much. I mean, anything to keep me from higher power. Ego, edging God out always. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. Tamara C., please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you, Kathy. This is Tamara C., a compulsive overeater recovered in California. That line, had to place the outcome in God's hands, hit me very powerfully this morning, especially around things where fear is coming up for me. I like how this man, through his step work, through his spiritual program of action, he saw that he needed to restore this other man's reputation through a public statement. And I'm sure that brought up a lot of fear for him. Not just what people would think of him or what it would be like to go through doing that, but also it says he was fearful of the consequences to himself and to the people that he cared about. And so I like that he consulted with others. That was a good lesson for me to remember. And then he decided to just leave the outcome in God's hands. And so in my life, the more I do this spiritual program of action, the more that's revealed to me that there's so much fear behind a lot of things in my life, and not just in making amends. There's fear around making amends, but there's fear around relationships and speaking up in my personal life, fear around my job, lots of fear around my job. There always has been fear of making a wrong decision, fear of not handling a situation well. And so I just love this because it's telling me that as soon as I notice that fear, I can just quickly say a prayer and put the outcome in God's hands. And then I can feel peaceful because my higher power is all-knowing and all-powerful. And so if the outcome is in God's hands, then I can relax. I can listen to direction. I can consult with others. I can trust and I can follow that direction. And I think that sometimes the outcome, I know that sometimes the outcome is going to be that I'm going to do things awkwardly and make mistakes and let it be a learning experience. And that's good too. And so as long as the outcome is in the hands of my higher power, then all is well. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Tamara C. Reggie O., please share with us.
Thank you, Kathy K. This is Reggie O., gratefully recovered in the Los Angeles area. And boy, just another beautiful, powerful paragraph. And, you know, looking at where this man started, what he had done, this ruinous, as it said, thing he had done, and after he made this amazing amends, I mean, this is one on the extreme ends of amends, his action was met with widespread approval, and today he is one of the most trusted citizens of this town. And you know, that strikes me, this all started back, that line reminded me back to the very beginning of In the Doctor's Opinion, where it says, in all cases, in nearly all cases, their ideals must be grounded in a power greater than themselves if they are to recreate their lives. And this man's life has been completely recreated. And he did it. You know, he placed the outcome in God's hands. He didn't do it alone. He worked the solution. And, you know, he lives according to what, you know, the purpose of this work is to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. And he was certainly of maximum service to the man he had definitely harmed, but, you know, also to his wife and also to his partner. It wasn't about him just getting a load off his chest. That was a part, you know, a part of it was definitely making the amends for something he had obviously done that was wrong, but other people was involved. So I just find that to be, you know, I love the exaggerated story because, you know, not many of us have stories like this. I know some do, and some don't, but I love that this is a big one because it shows that the recreation of one's life when, you know, for me, when I put my everything in God's hands and when I don't do it alone, you know, I do it with the people involved about me. And I used to before this program, and it was a big piece of work coming into the program, you know, it's like I either did it or I didn't do it, forget talking to other people about it. And many of my amends had to do with just that, not using my voice, not speaking, not bringing in or including people that really needed to be included in what I was doing. So I just find this to be really beautiful and the entire paragraph to be a promise of what happens when we work these steps and put, you know, place the outcome of everything in God's hands. And I'll pass with that.
Thank you, Reggie O. Okay, I'd like to take some more names. Who would like to share?
Barbara E.
Julie E.B.
Okay, one second. I heard Barbara E. and Julie E.B. Who else?
O.H.
Joanne.
Mo H. And what's that?
Joanne.
What's your last name? E. Is it Joanne?
Yes, it's the boy.
Yeah, great. Okay. I can take one more.
Terry S.
Okay, Terry S. Great. Okay, so we have Barbara E., Julie E. B., Mo H., Joanne B., and Terry S. Barbara E., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to be a contrarian today. It seems to me that what this man did was this essentially selfish and self-seeking. If I read it correctly, he never went to the family of the person he had destroyed and made sincere amends, regret, and restitution. He stood up in front of the church and shared that, and that was very brave. But what about the person he had destroyed, that hated rival, and the rival's family? What about them? But then again, I have to say that for myself, I really think I was born with no moral compass. All I was interested in was about me, getting my selfish needs taken care of and making sure that you thought I was better than I was. So I lied, I cheated, I stole, and I had a loving mother who was a widow, and she enabled me by making excuses for my poor behavior. And it wasn't until I came into OA that I saw that my behavior was not only hurting me, but it was hurting my family, it was warping their values, and it was playing havoc with the people around me. I was indeed besieged by the bedevilments, but I didn't know it. If I knew then what I know now, I would have acted differently. And I'm so grateful to OA and this program and this book for pointing the direction to my true North Star so I can be my authentic self and not say things that are hurtful and perhaps say things that need to be said, but said in a kinder way. But as I said, this man seems to be making reparations, restitution, amends to the wrong people, the hated rival that he had destroyed. What happened to the family? So if anyone has any thoughts on that and they want to give me a call, of course, I'm always open to other people's wisdom. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Barbara E. Julie E.B., please share with us.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado. I just want to share my experience, strength, and hope. This line, as I went through the reading process with my sponsor, and then as I went back through the book, really stood out to me. And I have it sent to me every day as a reminder on my phone. Place the outcome in God's hands, or all is already lost. And this resonates with me. Whether I'm doing an amends or just living my life, if I get into the outcomes business, I'm not accepting the things I can't change. And I'm not participating, encouraged to change the things I can. I'm doing the grouch, the brainstorm, especially the brainstorm, because for me, I would destroy people's reputations both out loud and internally. As soon as something kind of went wrong in my life, it was everybody else's fault. And I can still go to that. If they did this, if they did that, then I would feel more comfortable. I wouldn't feel restless, irritable, and discontent. But all that was based on a position of ego. When I discovered a higher power who was gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love that loved me no matter what, then all of a sudden, instead of having to rest happiness and satisfaction in life by managing everything well, instead of having to be in control of all the outcomes, I could just take the next right step, the next right action, humbly reminding myself I'm not running the show. And all of a sudden, the outcome in God's hands, because once I've got the outcome in my hands and I'm trying to project and prognosticate and be paralyzed by the outcome, I can't even move anywhere. So all is already lost. Once I think I'm in the outcomes business, I've got to quietly, loudly, however God has directed me to do it, take the next step to make right wrongs or to live my life according to my higher power's will. And then if I'm out of the outcomes business, at least I know I haven't already lost. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
You, Julie E.B. Mo H., please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you, Kathy, for your service and all those on the line. My name is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. So I was going to zero in on the same line that Julie E.B. did, but I'll start with, after consulting with his wife and partner, as some have already said, I can't do anything on my own. I need somebody else's help. And thank God for sponsors, for other people in the program, and for wise people out there in the world that I trust. I have to go to someone I trust. And definitely do I trust my sponsor and all of you out there. So first, I never did this in my life, consulted with another. I just acted and reacted on my own, opening my mouth all the time and reacting to this and that and the other thing. And I noticed today that I am just pausing and keeping my mouth closed when I need to keep it closed. But then again, zeroing in on he saw that he had to place the outcome in God's hands or he would soon start drinking again. This whole book is about coming to know God or a higher power in your life and using that God or higher power every day, every minute of the day. And momentarily I am dealing with a situation, something that I need to make a decision on. And I have gone to God in prayer in my meditation, and I also plan to speak to my sponsor and others for some guidance because I don't want to make the decision on my own. On my own, it will be a mistake. I know that. And with the guidance of others who I call God with skin on will be guidance. And I will know in my body if which way to go right or to go left. And then the last piece was he quietly got up. And what I have with that is with no ego, he quietly got up and shared what he needed to share. And now he is an outstanding citizen of his town. And I just feel so grateful now because I've made all my amends that I can look people in the eye when I go out. You know, if I see somebody I haven't seen in years, I am not ashamed of my body or anything I may have done to harm them, and I can have a nice conversation. So that, I love living in that ease and comfort of my body. So with that, this great paragraph again, I'll pass.
Thank you, Mo H. Joanne B., please share with us.
Hi, this is Joanne B. from Texas. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. What really stood out to me was how this gentleman got up in front of his congregation. And to me, that tells me that what he had done was a public offense, that it wasn't just something private that the person that he sinned against, I guess, knew, but everyone knew. And I see this humility in him making this public confession and wanting to be right with his Creator. And I think it's interesting because it took me back to page 73 where it says, but they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary. And so, you know, I know for me, in order for me to go publicly, I know in the past, you know, that if I had offended publicly, I had to really set my ego down and to do that. And also, I think it's neat. How could he possibly make a public statement exonerating or clearing his rival? So he wanted to clear his rival's name, but he didn't want to harm his new partner. And so he consults his wife and his partner and wants to be right with his creator. Other than that, you know, I don't know anything else, but it's just neat to see someone actually working through a problem of this magnitude and going to those who he's going to affect, and they work together because they understand what he needs to do to stay sober. I love this program, and I love everyone on this line. Thank you for your shares. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Joanne B. Terry S., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Terry S. in Bend, Oregon, and happy Monday to everybody. What I'm struck with this paragraph is, was he willing to go to any lengths? And, you know, he proved that he was. And it brought to mind, it wasn't an amends that I had to make, but several years ago in a job situation, I was required to be willing to go to any lengths. And that's related to being honest, just as this man was honest with his community. And long story short, what had happened was there was a situation where miscommunication and mistakes by other people had harmed a patient, had a bad outcome for a patient. And I was called into the office by the HR department and my boss. And I simply shared my part. And I got done, and this had all happened on a day that I wasn't even at work. So, but I still had a part in it. And I looked up, and there was dead silence in the room, and I thought, oh, my God. I'm trying to trust my higher power here, but this doesn't look good. And they stuttered out, it is very rare to see people with that level of integrity. Thank you so much for working here. I just was stunned with their reaction. That is only possible because of the power of the 12 steps, being willing to go to any length, and the protection and care of my higher power. Because I owned my part, and I didn't expect the outcome that I got. So I'm really, really grateful for the 12 steps and this ninth step process that makes us clean our side of the street and to keep it clean. This is a way of life that is infinitely richer than what I've ever experienced, and I'm very, very grateful. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Terry F. Okay, we have time for another list of folks. Who would like to share?
This is Sandra M. from New York.
Sandra M.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Sherry KB.
Sherry KB.
Shirley H.
Shirley H. One more, perhaps? Okay, we'll start with this list then and see where we are. We may not have any more time. Sandra M., please share with us.
Thank you. This is Sandra in New York, gratefully recovering in OA, compulsive eater. Thank you so much for the service on this call, everyone, and all the shares, and welcome any newcomers. You know, this is just another reminder for me, and I heard it in other shares, you know, willingness to go to any length, and then also recognizing the element of service and that I'm here to serve a higher power. And the reminder that, like, the constant thought of others, you know, my recovery depends on the constant thought of others, meaning the consideration of others. You know, where am I setting the ball rolling? And here is just yet another example of, you know, how insidious this disease is and how many people it affects and how many lengths I went to destroy other people and relationships. And, you know, I torched relationships. I put bombs to, you know, bridges, so to speak. And for me to, like, because I blamed everybody else. Everybody else was my higher power. And there's something so beautiful about amends is it's such a deep level of connection with my higher power in that I'm sitting across from someone, and sometimes not, you know, depends how your sponsor guides you in making the amends, whether it's direct or indirect, through letter if you can't, or someone has passed. But for me, you know, when I made my amends, and as I'm walking through more, you know, it's a lifetime experience. Amends come, you know, when they come. But really looking at, I'm here sitting across from someone and amending an action or a behavior that has really destroyed relationships or disconnected me from the sunlight of the spirit. And then also that I'm releasing the power. I'm releasing the power that I gave other people. I'm releasing the power that, you know, this whatever defect of character or the shortcoming or, you know, the feeling that I wanted to feel over and over again that I could not let go of. And in that third step prayer where it talks about, please relieve me of the bondage of self, you know, the bondage of self for me is that constant thinking that I'm not good enough or that, you know, this person did this over me and they have power and this has power and that, you know, and my higher power is completely gone. And so for me, it's just a reminder that I'm dependent and reliant on a higher power and not another person, place, or thing, or even an event. You know, the shame that I had over behaviors that I really didn't see that came up in my fourth step, and letting that go in the amends process. It's just miraculous. I'm so grateful to be on this call to continue my sobriety and recovery. Solvency, I'm sorry, I'm in so many programs, but my abstinence, so thank you so much.
Thank you, Donna B. Okay, Sherry KB, please share with us. Oh, I'm sorry, that was Sandra M. I'm very sorry. Donna B., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater from Denver, Colorado, calling in from Vero Beach, Florida. And this paragraph reminds me of the contrast between grand amends and the smaller, intimate, daily amends. The first time I went through the steps in OA, which was not utilizing the big book. It was using the traditional OA literature. When I got to step 9, I wrote a lot of checks, big checks. I sent money to nonprofit organizations to compensate them for the things that I stole from others. And at the time, that felt like a grand gesture. And I remember as I was writing the checks, being very intentional that the amount of money I was donating would feel significant. So that it would feel like a hardship to let go of that money. Now I'm in a completely different chapter of my life. I've worked through the steps utilizing the big book and following the instructions as they're laid out. And although I admire the courage of this grand community amends, in my personal experience, the more challenging amend is showing up every day for my family, in my home, and being present for the people that I love. It's so easy for me, even in entire abstinence, to be distracted. And it is only with the help of a power greater than myself, that I can sit still and listen and take interest in the things that my children and my husband are talking to me about. So especially for newcomers, I just want to point out that not all amends are these grand, big, community-based gestures. But the ones in which we show up in our daily lives have a great deal of meaning as well, and in my experience have been more challenging. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Donna B. Sherry KB, please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Kathy, and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers, and welcome everybody to 2020. What I love about this book is that there are directions, continual directions, reminding me, and I'm a compulsive overeater, so I need to be reminded all the time. I have a built-in forgetter, and so I constantly need to be reminded of things, and here is the fifth warning in this chapter, where it says he had to place the outcome in God's hands or he would soon drink again and all would be lost anyhow. That's another warning here. This is the fifth warning we've had in these pages. And I know that I don't have this situation happen to me, but what I do know is it keeps reminding me very powerfully to place everything, the outcome, in God's hands, because I'm not in charge anymore. And because if I try to be in charge, I'm going to end up face down in the food, regardless of how big the amends is or how small it is. And, you know, I've working very closely with a particular sponsee, and we've been talking a lot about this. We're basically in the same page that we've been on with everybody, and we keep talking about this. And the thing is that what I've learned through the years is I don't sit there and tell somebody this was my part in it, because the point is that I'm supposed to be on my side of the street cleaning up everything without pointing any fingers at anyone else or involving anyone else, and especially if I consult somebody and to ask their permission, because if it will cause somebody else damage, then I have no business including or doing it. And that the outcome is in God's hands. For me, from here on out, every outcome is in God's hands, not in my hands any longer, because my experience has been that every time I have tried to do something myself without consulting, especially my higher power and other people, it hasn't turned out very nicely. And when I do put the outcome in God's hands and I do talk to other people, talk to other people before I do something, it makes a huge difference, because my self-will, which is the voice of my disease, would want to do it on my own. And without God, and that's what I see throughout this book, that I am turning my will and my life over to God. I turn the outcome over to God, because if I don't, it'll be a disaster. And it talks about that later on, because I'll burn up energy foolishly if I try to run the Sherry Show. And that's what it's telling me here, and I will be face down in the food again if I don't. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. And Shirley H., please share with us.
Hi, this is Shirley H., recovering overeater.
Hi, Shirley. Go ahead.
Thank you. This is my first time calling in, and I'm a little nervous. The part, and I forget the wording, but about turning it over to God, I have trouble figuring out how to do that. And as I was listening to everyone talk, it reminded me that when I did do the ninth step, my scariest amends and most important one, I really did have to turn it over to God. I didn't know how to do it any other way, and it turned out to be, you know, a good thing. And this has just been a great reminder that it's like oh yeah, that's what turning it over, that's when you did it, that's how it helped, you know, because I didn't do that amends. I didn't have any control over the outcome. And you know, it was like walking into a burning building, and but you know, I turned it over to God and it felt better. And with that, I pass.
We can't hear you, Kathy.
Kathy, we can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've been talking away. Thank you, Shirley H. I hope you keep coming back. And now we're going to close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Shannon M., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, I'm Shannon M., recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.